Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Get into all kinds of different stuff. Is SGA taking the next step? We've seen him make a bunch of plays at the end of games. He was a big part of what happened last night with the Thunder winning their second in a row. Is he taking that next step, learning how to be the alpha dog of a team? Thunder haven't been great, but they also haven't been near as bad as people thought, and he's been a big part of that. We'll wrap up the NFL, even though there's two games to play today. We'll wrap up the week, talk about the testing protocols and what's going to – will anything change, or is it just going to be kind of a mess? The MVP race, could this be the first time in a while that a non-quarterback – wins the MVP? Which are the best teams that are not winning a division? Is there anything you can trust on a week-to-week basis? Seems like it's been pretty topsy-turvy this year. Top five, bottom three, as well. And I'm going to make an audible, Jared, to the list. So I thought of something else. We'll do the grades tomorrow. Because quite frankly, I had
You're telling me I took about 45 minutes yesterday.
Well, here's
looking
the deal.
Up schedules, looking at results.
Yes, and I didn't because I had a Christmas party last night and I didn't get to it.
So. Oh, okay.
But it got me to thinking as we were playing the Dirty Santa game, you know, and all that. It got me to thinking, Christmas is coming up. What do you want in your sports stocking for Christmas?
Okay, I like it.
Because something happened over the weekend that we didn't get to yesterday that is first and foremost in my sporting stocking for 2022.
Intrigued.
So that's where we're going. Would love to hear you guys' ideas about that too. 225-9698. What do you want in your sports stocking for 2022? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon app. The app has all kinds of goodies. The three radio stations here in Elk City. It's also got the Penny News. You can check out the deals of this week's Penny News. Online, thepennynews.com. Pick up a free copy of the Penny News. It'll be going away this week. This week's edition will be going away tomorrow and Thursday as a new one hits the stands right here before Christmas. So see what kind of deals there are in the Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, quiet for a little while. Paragon TV will crank back up right after Christmas with the Hammond Lady Warriors down at the birth of Frank Teague. Then after that, it'll be January until those get back online with high school hoops. Got the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, and also KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check it out. See what we had to say on certain topics each and every day. What's going on, Jared?
How are you?
I am a little less than 100%, if we're going to be honest.
Are you not feeling well?
I feel fine. It's just kind of a little tired.
Uh-oh.
I don't normally stay out as late as I did on
Monday.
Oh,
I see. Okay. All right, Christmas you mentioned party. Christmas party.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little self-induced tiredness.
Gotcha. Okay, I got you.
And sluggishness.
All right, just making sure there's nothing else.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, fine there. It's just I'll probably be working on a little headache here in just a little bit, and that's the way that's going to go for the day. What'd you do last night?
Well, nothing out of the ordinary. Kiddo had basketball practice. Watched some of the football. Little bonus football yesterday coming home. Football was on and watched some of that. I mean, nothing major. Oh, we did something fun. We're starting a new Christmas tradition. I thought it was a cool idea for my wife. We tricked the kids. It was great. Totally tricked them. We told them to go to bed like normal routine. And then when they were in the bed, you know, and you know, kids, it takes them a little bit. It's like, you can get a book, look at a book. You can, you know, takes a little bit to get to sleep. Well, my wife makes hot chocolate. And then she says, okay, go wake him up. We'll give him the hot chocolate. tell him to get in the car. We're going to drive around and look at Christmas lights.
Ah, very nice.
So, well, I got this speaker. My wife got this new speaker at her Christmas party. Mm-hmm. One of those real big ones, the JBL brand. So I hooked that up to my phone, and I just blasted the Mariah Carey "All I Want for Christmas Is You" song,
dear.
And they were like, "What's going on?" I was like, "We're gonna go look at Christmas lights. Here's your hot chocolate." And so we just drove around town, checked out all the Christmas lights, and then got home. And of course, they went to bed a little later than usual, so it was a little rough this morning getting them up. But it was pretty fun. Pretty fun little idea right there for my wife. And checked out all the Christmas lights, and then all I heard was, "Oh, we need that on our house. We need to do that right there. Daddy, how come ours aren't blinking like that one is?" So I'd like to thank everybody who outdid me this year on their Christmas lights. You know who you are. I won't say names. I won't say last names. Justin. Rachel. That's about it.
The little lights aren't twinkling, Clark. Thanks for noticing, Art.
Yeah, thanks. Anyways, no, it's fun. Fun times. My kid wants to have a Christmas light contest next year. She goes, "We didn't have a contest. The whole town needs to have a contest." That's not a bad idea, but how would this work? She goes, "Well, we all vote on everybody's house, but you can't vote on your own." I mean, she's had this all planned out. It's like, "Well, what do they win?" She goes, "Well, they win money." Like, "Where does this money come from?" She goes, "I don't know, a bank?" I said, "How do you get money from a bank?" She goes, "We just go ask the banker." And it's like, "Okay, you want donations. Do you know any bankers?" It's a newsflash. Your basketball coach is a banker. Go ask him next time at practice. it was fun. Fun night.
Well, that's how that works, isn't it? They just give you money, right? The bank?
Yeah, that's what kids think. That's what a bank is. They just give you money.
They just give it to you.
Yeah, they just give you money. You
got it all there. Why can't they just give it to you?
Oh, boy. No, it was fun. Fun night. Hey, I see you. Now, are these the famous cookies you're telling me about?
Yes, there you go.
Awesome.
I brought you and Tara some.
Oh, man. This looks great. Is this the raspberry one?
One of each. Yeah.
Right there. Oh, man. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Did you get our Christmas card?
I don't know. I don't open the mail.
Oh, okay. Well, Allie's a little late on them this year. My responsibility is basically getting them in the mailbox, but she puts it all together.
Here's the deal. She's been too busy coming up with all kinds of great ideas.
That's true. She loves this season.
You know,
I'm a little bit of the Grinch when it comes to Christmas. My happiest my happiest day of the year is December 26th.
Now, as soon as the presents are opened on Christmas Day, will you just start getting out the boxes and go, "Okay, let's clean it up"?
I'm already planning on how to take the lights down.
Let's get it done.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice on Sunday.
Not that I hate the idea of Christmas. It's just that I hate what Christmas has become. You know, I grew up in the Methodist Church, and, you know, and now it's all about, we got to get these presents. We got to do this. It's been so, I don't know, commercialized.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me. And I was like, you know, I'd just rather just get this season over with. Yeah, it's just me. Sorry. A little Grinch right there. Sorry about that.
Bah humbug.
Yeah.
On that note, what do you want in your Christmas stocking, Jared? Your sports Christmas stocking for 2022?
Question. That's a good question.
It can be multiple things.
My sports Christmas stocking for the upcoming calendar year 2022. Well, what do you want? Let me think, because you've thought about this. I haven't. You're just throwing this at me. What do you want?
Okay, so this weekend, we didn't talk about this yesterday because, you know, how Mondays go when Jim's with us. It seems like we're in here for about 10 minutes. Some semblance of Tiger Woods playing professional golf. That was so much fun on Sunday.
That was neat.
The father-son thing, and to see his son Charlie, and to see Tiger Woods out there. And it was you could tell – everyone in that competition, everyone that was, you know, even the from the broadcast crew on down, it was you were seeing something that you just didn't know or even think you were going to see again after that wreck 10 months ago.
Yeah.
And almost losing his leg. And, you know, it was fantastic. He actually played really well, considering what all you've been going through. But he clearly can't play on a PGA Tour event right now. He couldn't walk. So, you know, that was even if that's I guess maybe we got maybe it's already in my stocking because we got to see that this weekend. But it just it was cool. It was just super duper cool to see. And now if there's some way that he could continue to grow and continue to get more healthy and then be able to play, not even compete really, not you know, just to play, I think you know,
it's just better for the sport.
It is better. That's the one thing about, I mean, golf has grown exponentially since he came on the scene back in the late 90s. You know, from 1997 and the Masters that he won until now, it's amazing how the popularity of golf has just skyrocketed solely because of him. I mean, you know, we talk about moving the needle and what does in sports. He is the golf needle. There's mm-hmm. not another one out there. And so, you know, I think people had to really kind of start thinking that when figured out the severity of what happened and the injuries that he suffered. And I think golf is kind of left holding the bag because they don't have plan B.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do when he's done. Maybe it's I mean, you know, that the pressure on that poor kid.
Oh my goodness!
Moving forward is going to be just astronomical. I don't know
if he's not a top golfer at Stanford, then something's wrong,
or
right?
Whatever. Yeah. And so, you know, that's remains to be seen how that all works out. But as far as you know, golf figuring out what to do post Tiger, they clearly haven't, and there's just not another plan because there's just not another guy like that. He's a one of a kind. He's a once in a generation, and quite honestly, with the accomplishments he has been able to achieve, not being a white dude, it can't happen again because there can't be another first. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like he is that guy. So I thought that was awesome, and I just hope that we can see him just play. And be out there, and whatever results that come with that, it is what it is. But just to see him out there playing and having fun and being more, you know, human about life, it's interesting to see.
I think that's why he played well. I just need to get out an event and swing him and just have fun. And he's having fun with his kid, and there's no pressure there because really there was no expectation for him to do good. It feels like it was over a year ago that wreck happened.
But yeah, it was 10 months.
It was 10 months ago, mm-hmm. And it's kind of amazing that he's actually out there. Were they walking?
Nah, he didn't. He rode in a car.
Okay, that's
except for the very last hole. It was like 200 yards. He walked up. Yeah, 240 yards, whatever. He walked up with, and he mentioned that for him, that was the one part that he was kind of disappointed in with the weekend was he wasn't able to walk down the fairways with his son.
Yeah,
you know but in order to play, he had to have the cart because he simply couldn't walk that long.
Sure. Yeah, but. Yeah, but I'm with you on that one. Golf is better when he's playing. When Tiger's there wearing a red shirt and a black cap on a Sunday afternoon, I mean, people are tuning in to watch. No offense to the other guys because there's other great golfers and there's great golf to be watched, but he's the draw for a lot of these events. You absolutely hope. I doubt it happens, but wouldn't that be awesome if he's in Tulsa? I doubt that happens, but, man, that'd be crazy. But, yeah, I like that. I like that. What I want in my sports stocking, it's kind of an encompassing want for everything as far as sports and me is concerned. But and it's going to sound corny and cheesy, but it is the season of giving and hope, and that's what it is. Hope. Hope for a lot of things in 2022. I hope that we get a full crowd in the big house for small school basketball.
I thought about that one too. That's
you know,
funny.
I hope that when we start the 2022-23 NBA season, there's actually hope for the NBA Thunder after what we saw kind of last night and what you kind of mentioned in the opening was, you know, there's signs of hope with that team, with the youth, and they clearly were driven last night not to get embarrassed in Memphis again. And, you know, depending on what kind of pick they can get, I hope it's a lottery pick and I hope it's a high one. And then I hope that transforms into, you know, taking that next step forward. I hope that we have, instead of just making the playoffs for the Dallas Cowboys, I hope there is actually a chance to make a deep run at this thing. With the offense the way it's playing now, that's an iffy want. But so I guess that's what I, you know, I'm just encompassing all of my teams here and my sports wishes with hope. I just hope that we move forward from COVID. And I think the number one thing, though, is a three-day event. Now, last year was fun with the full week. But, I mean, I want the crowd in those bleachers on the floor.
Yeah.
I want packed house on Saturday watching every single championship game. I want the wall-to-wall basketball on Friday with exciting buzzer-beating attempts and makes. And I want all of that in the first weekend in March. That's what I want.
Yeah, another hope, Mr. Weatherly. Hope they get the new Fairground Arena too at some point. That just enhance.
Oh
that
yeah. Bit.
But that's funny you said that because that was another one I had on my mind was to be back in there as normal as possible. I think it will be interesting to see if they try to have every game in the A&B there, which probably means an extra day.
Mm.
So
that was a long week. I mean, like I said, it was neat to have all the games in there, but for the circumstances, we wish that wouldn't be like that because they had to take those bleachers off. They had the rope off sections, and we had to start a game like at 9:30 on a Monday or Tuesday, and I had to drive back and forth a lot. It was a long week, and I just liked the more 3-day event, but. That's what I want. That's what I hope I get in my stocking this year.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm trying to think of something else.
I hope we get an MLB season.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know that's going to happen.
With my Rangers finally making some moves, spending some money, and actually putting together what looks to be a team that can maybe compete in the West. Will we actually see it? Don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know if we're going to see a baseball game in 2022 on the major league level.
Sad.
I really don't. Let's see. What else would I want in my sports stocking coming up in 2022?
I covered a lot with one answer there.
You know what I want?
What's that?
I want USC to go about 3-9.
That's very possible.
How about that?
And nobody would blame Lincoln Riley for that.
Oh, yeah, I would.
He would get a pass this year if that's what happened because they'd say he inherited a team that went what 4-5
games. I think they won 5
yeah
didn't, they?
Didn't make a bowl game so that's a, you know it's not and they'll look at they'll compare well last time he inherited a team he had all these players and playmakers on the team
and
it was given
it.
To him yeah so I'm right there with you I hope that happens
4-8
but
yeah, 4-8.
Nobody will blame him.
Oh, I'm going to blame him. You can guarantee that. 4-8. So, yeah, 3-9 would be worse. That'd be fun.
That'd be a blast.
I'd like to see I'd like to see Bedlam matter again.
I think it will.
I like matter to the level that it did this year.
This
Here's
year.
One.
Yeah, I think it's very possible.
An OU Golf National title. That's what our man Mike Wilson wants.
That's not.
We almost saw that last year.
Almost did. They had a great fall. I think they're going to be up there. Yeah. I hope to finally go to a Women's College World Series game. I keep saying I'm going to go to that. I need to do that because not every year OU is going to be good.
Are you sure about that?
It seems like they're dominating.
Not so
right
fast,
now.
My friend.
There's going to be those years where they're going to have lulls, right?
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's inevitable. It always happens in any sport, any program.
I don't know if it's going to or not.
They're taking
Both,
over.
Speaking of Bedlam, that there you go.
That's a fun
How
one.
About a Bedlam series in Oklahoma City for the softball national title?
That would be epic.
There you go.
Kayeski's got him coming up. I mean, yeah.
Let's
That
let's,
would be
let's
epic.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, that'd
and then
be fun.
And then for Mike's and then you could maybe a Bedlam battle. For the national title in golf too, we saw it at the cup. What
Why
was
not?
The cup? The
this last fall.
Yeah, in yeah. Atlanta for the last four teams for the year before. So
yeah,
golly, what's that called? I can't remember what the
coach called. I forget what it's called. Yeah.
Anyway, we saw that there in the semifinals, and then OU exacted a little revenge against Pepperdine from the year before.
Right.
You know, remember the excitement that was there this summer when it looked like that might happen in both of those sports?
Yeah.
With both in the College World Series and then both really good golf teams on the men's side. And OSU women were fantastic as well, lost in the finals. So, yeah, a bedlam series in softball. Right. That'd be fun.
I hope that we actually have athletes who boycott the Olympics. I know it's kind of out of left field, sorry.
That's okay.
I don't care to watch one iota of the Winter Olympics. I really don't care.
You don't want to see China pretending like they're not awful people?
No.
For a whole couple weeks?
No. You're going to see record low viewership of these Olympics.
You think?
Very low. Very low. Did you watch any Summer Olympics?
What?
Did you watch any of the Summer Olympics?
This year?
Yeah, last summer. Remember, it was delayed a year. Did you watch any of that?
I don't even remember the Olympics happened, so I'm going to go with no.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither. And I don't plan on watching these either. Just no. I think for obvious reasons. We don't have enough time for that. But!
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not much of a Winter Olympics guy anyway. I like hockey.
I like the hockey.
I like the downhill skiing where they're just flying down the mountain.
Yeah, I like the number one thing, I guess, is the hockey. But what?
Curling.
Curling's always a hit with people. But for outside reasons, I really have no interest in it.
You know that's going
to
remind.
And they're making it so hard to even watch it anyways. You got to download an app. You got to pay for this if you want to watch this certain sport. Why can't you just put it on a TV channel and allow us to just to simply click on our TV? So they're making it so hard, I'd just rather put more effort into something else.
It may remind the world of 1936. Remember what happened in 1936?
Was that the Olympics right in Germany right
before?
It
was. Yeah. It was indeed.
Jesse Owens dominated.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it was also a attempt at tricking the world.
Right.
With what was going on over there.
Right.
I think that's going to be similar this time with what China's doing.
Wow.
So, anyhow. Wow. What else do you want in your Christmas sports stocking for 2022? 225-9698 is the phone call number. You can also text us in there, 225-9698. Let's take a break.
Let's do it, because I need to put together a top five here.
We'll talk the NFL next. I'm anxious to see if you think, is there anything you can trust? Anything you can trust.
I can trust
from
a
week-to-week basis.
Oh.
NFL, week's not quite over with a couple of those delayed games. Today, Washington and Philly, and also Seattle and the Rams. But Tuesday's normally our day to talk about what happened over the week and what to look forward to and that kind of thing, so we'll go ahead and do it.
We're not going to alter our schedule.
No, we're not going to. So not 100% sure any result tonight could change. Maybe a top five if you wanted to slip the Rams in there or take them out, depending on the result. But is there something, Jared, that you can trust from week to week in the NFL right now?
As far as play on the field and results and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, more local, I think – we can trust that the Dallas defense is going to have at least one takeaway a game, at least one. It seems like they're always good for one takeaway. It seems like that defense is going to have some crazy, awesome play every week. In this three-game winning streak, you've seen more of the defense shine than the offense, which is absolutely crazy. It's a complete 180 from last year. and you could and I trust that that Parsons more or less is going to be a part of that play somehow, whether it be off ball that he's forcing a bad pass or just or is forcing a sack and a fumble, something like that. But I guess what I'm saying is I can trust that that defense is. I can trust the Dallas defense again this year. That's my answer. I can trust the Dallas defense. How about you?
I'm not quite there yet. You know what? The only thing it feels like you can trust?
What's that?
A double-digit underdog is going to win a game. It seems like that happens every single week. Detroit beat Arizona. What?
Yeah.
The NFL's like that. Because of the parity that's created, but it just seems like, and maybe it's just the recency bias of everything going on this year. But does it not seem like this happens more often this year than it has in the past? Where just an awful team somehow steps up and wins a game against a really good team?
Yeah.
You know, you think about when the Titans were rolling. You look up and their losses were to like the Jets. In Houston, and you're like, what? They just ran through Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore, and then they lose to the Jets? What? You know, in Arizona, we didn't really get to them as much as I thought about yesterday, but, you know, this is it's an interesting time for them, coming off that loss to Detroit, and you know, the stage was apparently too big against the Rams the week before, you know. And so that's back-to-back losses with Kyler Murray. Now, DeAndre Hopkins has been limited and played some, didn't play some. And that's a huge difference to that team, obviously, with one of the best receivers in the league out. But it just seems to me like the one thing you can trust is that there's going to be one game each week where you just go, huh? How did that happen? And this week it happened to be Detroit and Arizona.
Yeah.
Anything else that you feel like you could trust?
I guess that the trust has always been there for Kansas City, even during their little bit of a slump period early in the season. But did you really think they were going away? I mean, honestly.
Gosh, the way it looked, kind of. I mean,
I guess it's
one thing for the offense, but what I didn't see coming is how well they've played on defense. Since that lull in the first of the season, because I mean it looked like Pat Mahomes was going to have to score 40 a night in order for them to be able to win the game.
Yeah,
and that has not been the case. You know, they've won what, 7 straight?
3, 4. Yeah,
and the point totals given up 17-7, 14-9, 9-9, and then 28 to the Chargers in that last game. But, I mean, that's fantastic defense, especially when you look up, you know, the first few weeks, 29, 36, 30, 30, 38. And then all of a sudden that Washington game on the road is where they turned it around. And since then, 13, then 27 to the Titans, the game that got ran over. And then after that, this really good stretch of defense. So I think that may be the part. You always probably trusted Patrick Mahomes and that offense to figure out something. I just didn't – I never once trusted that defense to turn it around to this level. I mean, it's incredible what they've been able to do. And then that allows Mahomes to get back more into his comfort zone where he doesn't have to try to force everything. He can be okay scoring 21, knowing, hey, we're liable to win.
True. It's kind of like Dak.
I think maybe Green Bay's Rodgers – kind of, I think I could trust him not to lose a game for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He may not have the greatest game every week in and week out, but I think you can always trust him. He realizes their defense is pretty good, and there's no reason for him to make the fatal flaw, the fatal mistake in any game, and he's not going to. The one thing, another thing you can trust with Green Bay is they're going to play horrific special teams. That, to me, and we can maybe talk about this moving forward, kind of each team's fatal flaw going into the playoffs. Green Bay special teams is up there. Mason Crosby has struggled.
He has.
They've struggled.
Has time come? Is that it?
I mean, listen.
How long has he been in the league?
I know this. That dude, was on the field at Arrowhead when Adrian Peterson was a freshman in the Big 12 title game for Colorado, because I was there.
I remember that, yeah.
And the sound that he made when he kicked the football was different than anyone I'd ever heard, ever. And you're like, holy crap, look at that. This is a cannon. But that's 2004. This is 2021. I think that was his last year at Colorado. So he's been, you know, 15, 16 years at some point, maybe.
Yeah. So maybe the leg is going on him.
Or maybe he's, I'm not going to go there. Well, maybe he's focused on, you know, this time of year he always gets focused on trying to finish up making the toys for Santa with his pointy little elf ears.
Wow. A knock on the man's
You've never
ears?
Noticed. You never noticed that? He kind of looks like an elf.
No.
Always has.
I'm not looking at guys' ears.
Well, when he takes his helmet off, it's pretty obvious.
Wow. Now I'm going to Google that up.
MVP race. Speaking of Rodgers, I think this is going to be fascinating for Aaron Rodgers. Can you see it? He looks like an elf.
I mean, they're not that pointy. Yeah. They're like Spock ears or anything.
They're elf ears.
You're looking at.
Anyhow, I think this is going to be interesting because Rodgers probably should be the MVP so far.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But
I think Tom Brady took a hit this weekend.
Yeah, and talk about another guy too. But here's the thing. Not that I'm a big conspiracy theorist or anything, but will the football writing media vote for Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, here we go. I haven't heard much talk about that.
Oh, yeah?
No, I mean, as far as that handcuffing his chances at getting an MVP. At least when I watch broadcast and stuff, like game broadcast. Are they talking about it a lot in pregame stuff?
Nah, it's more of the writers. You know, snarky tweets here or there. You know, this and that.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be interesting. I think if they can find somebody else to vote for, they will.
Well, who would that be?
How about Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah.
You know, that run the other night on Saturday night against New England, excuse me. You know, we talk about Heisman moments, right?
Sure.
When that's going on. You know, he breaks a 67-yarder to ice the game against the Pats. Is that kind of his MVP moment? National television, the only game in town on a Saturday against Belichick and the evil empire that is the Pats. And then you see that, you know, him bust off that run. And he's been incredible all season long. There's, you know, Wentz is up and down. He's played pretty well sometimes. He's thrown the game away a couple times. But Jonathan Taylor has been consistently great this season for Indy. So could he be that non-quarterback MVP? I mean, he's definitely a candidate, but can he have enough to win it? Especially if he continues down the stretch the way he is and helping the Colts get out of that giant logjam at 8-6 and end up maybe catching Tennessee for the division or at least getting into the playoffs with a wild card.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about him. I mean, other than that, you're right. I mean, if we're going non-quarterback, I guess just because I watched him last night, but Justin Jefferson at Minnesota has had a pretty good year. What other non-quarterbacks? I mean, clearly you got to stay on the offensive side of the ball because that's just how it works as far as MVP is concerned. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, or, you know, a defender.
I mean, before he went down, Derrick Henry was up there.
Before, listen, you see his value to that team because you know who's not the same? Ryan Tannehill, because he can't just turn around and hand it to Derrick Henry.
Right.
So 2006. We'll go back to 2005. So in 2005, Sean Alexander was the MVP. Counting that year to now, it's only been a non-quarterback three times. Sean Alexander in 05, LaDainian Tomlinson in 06, and Adrian Peterson in 12. All running backs.
Beast Mode never got it?
Nope.
Felt like there was at least one in there when he was...
Nope.
You know, all quarterbacks, yeah. It's hard to argue against Rodgers because he has the numbers. You know, Dak was playing up a pretty good
he's
tapered off. If we're staying with quarterbacks, so has Kyler. Since he's got hurt, he's lost his chances. Definitely doesn't help losing to Detroit. I mean, it could be kind of like the Heisman race this year, just very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I think that the real interesting race for an award is Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, Micah Parsons is starting to get really good. So I saw a list yesterday of odds, and I think he was the third favorite. Or maybe even saw that this morning. But it was pretty bunched up at the top. It was him. Golly, I can't remember who else is on the list. T.J. Watt, maybe, was the betting favorite to win that award. What about... What about the best teams that aren't – who do you think is the best team that isn't leading their division?
Well, you mentioned the Colts. I think they're up there as one of the better teams, not leading. Rams, technically still in second place in the West. The Bills looked solid against Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago. They bounced back and won. I think the – but you know what? I know your answer, and I'll say it too. 49ers.
Yeah, I don't think it is the 49ers.
Really? Okay.
I think they're a scary team right now to play. But if it's the best – like, to me, the best team, which would then in turn mean who has the best chance of, say, reaching the Super Bowl from a wild card position. I don't know. I don't know if the 49ers are at now. I do think that they're the one that can win a game. But I don't know if they can win three or four. To me, you named them. And you don't seem like it seems like they're leading their division, but they're not. And that's Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, eventually, I feel like Buffalo is going to, you know, to me, they're the best wild card team or have the best shot if they can reach what their potential is of finding a way to make a deep run in the playoffs. With the experience of last year all the way to the AFC title game. That's, to me, it's Buffalo. As far as deep run. But, yeah, listen, San Francisco's playing awesome right now. And they are physical. And they have dudes that can really play. Now, Jimmy G, we'll find out if he can, you know, recreate that magic of a couple of years ago back to the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I think they can win a game. I don't know if they can win a bunch, but to me, I'm with Buffalo. And then I love Indianapolis too. You know, they've been that team since Andrew Luck has left that it felt like, okay, they're built for the playoffs. They're built for Super Bowl runs. They just need to find a quarterback. And Wentz has been pretty good for the most part. If he can just – avoid throwing the ball with his left hand. When he, you know, just take away a couple of left-handed passes, and the Bills will probably win that division. Or, I'm sorry, the Colts. The Colts will probably win that division if he just doesn't throw it left-handed a couple of times.
Right.
You know, but they're solid, man. And I really think that we're going to see Jonathan Taylor. He's creating that buzz. That run the other night just enhanced it. And so if he can continue, I mean, it's going to be. They have to make the playoffs, obviously, for him to be involved with that award. They have to. Because you know, Rodgers is making the playoffs. And to me, it feels almost like a two-person race. I don't know if anybody else – you mentioned Kyler with the injuries. Prescott's fell off. Maybe Mahomes can get his way back into that conversation. But I think early on, he fell so far behind. Right. With the turnovers and the way that Kansas City jumped out of the gates or stumbled out of the gates, I just don't think he can get himself all the way back to winning that award, no matter what his numbers are.
Right.
And they're fantastic when you look at them.
Oh, yeah.
But it just feels like it's either going to be Rodgers or Jonathan Taylor this year as the MVP to me. All right, what's your top five?
My top five would be number one. I'll go number five. I like doing it backwards. Tampa Bay. I know they lost and put a goose egg up for Tom Brady the first time in forever. Still a top five team for me, so they're number five. Number four, the Rams. Number three, the Cowboys. Three-game win streak. Winning matters. Top of their division. Looks like they're about to close it out. Packers, number two. And I put the Chiefs at number one. I think the Chiefs are, and I saw this somewhere, they are back to being the Super Bowl favorite. Playing good football. Defenses made adjustments, and that's dangerous because the offense is always going to be scary. Chiefs, number one for me.
I'm going to Bucks five as well. We got Dallas four. Probably Rams three. Chiefs two, and I've got Green Bay as number one.
Okay.
Team that I hate not putting in there. Even though they lost, I mean, they did lose this week, but Indianapolis. I'm sorry, New England.
Yeah, that's why I dropped it.
They did lose the game. I'll tell you another team that I wouldn't want to play, except for that they always figure out a way to bungle games at the end, is the Chargers. Whew. The team's pretty good. They can figure out a little bit of defensive health.
Well, maybe you do want to play them because they always find a way to
– They do find a way to mess it up.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much they can do that. All the way back to the, you know, LaDainian Drew Brees time or LaDainian Phil Rivers time. It's amazing how they can figure out a way to mess games up at the end when they shouldn't. But they're right there on the cusp of it. And then, you know, the Cardinals, neither one of us had them in there. It just seems something wrong.
There's something they don't look on and something's clearly off, and I cannot overlook them losing to Detroit. I know Detroit has always been a fighting team.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are Arizona, you're coming in at, 10-3 before that game, knowing what's on the line, knowing we got to make a strong push towards the end of the season to secure this division, get a nice seed into the playoffs, and you go and you lose a game like that to Detroit, of all teams, doesn't look good. It stuck with me. That's why I dropped them.
You know, that was their first loss on the road.
Wow. See, there's
they were 7-0 on the road. 3-3
at home. Were they just due to lose on the road? Didn't matter who they played.
But as far as getting Detroit, maybe they don't care to get the one seed because they haven't played very good at home anyway.
That's true.
But Detroit's feisty, man. They've always been feisty.
Yeah, we've always been giving them credit. They've always, you know, been that feisty team and a team you kind of want to root for, kind of like a Rudy, you know. You want to root for no matter what.
Yeah, Dan Campbell's easy to root for. He's really, you know, fired up. And you know, you felt like you had to put him in the bottom three all season long because for the longest time they were 0-10.
Yeah.
0 for whatever it was, whatever week we're talking about. But they never really belong there because there's three worse teams in the league each and every week than them. You know, even though they were losing – It wasn't just terrible. They were right in the games, playing hard. And so, they're not going to be in my bottom three, even though they are tied with the fewest wins in the league, with one that will be, though.
Agreed.
Jacksonville is the worst team.
Yes. I agree with you there.
They're terrible.
They're bad.
That's maybe it wasn't.
Such a mess.
I mean, as much as, you know, Herb is Herb, it's not just him. That's obvious. They got beat by two touchdowns by Houston. Houston's terrible. But the Jags are worse. So I've got Jags. I've still got Houston. I don't care that they beat the Jags. They're bad. And, gosh, I guess the Jets. No. I'm not going to put the Jets. You know who actually looks pretty good? Your guy. The guy you hate. He looks pretty dang good, man.
Okay.
He does.
I'll go get you a T-shirt.
He looks pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay.
Not bad.
It's the Jets.
Yeah, that's his main problem. He's on the Jets. and then the Bears. What the hell are the Bears doing? That was awful. That was an awful game last night.
They look like a mess.
How can offensive football be so hard? Matt Nagy, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
The Bears. Bears are terrible. I got them. So I got Jags, still got Houston, and I've got the Bears as bottom three.
I got Jags, Jets, Texans.
Yeah.
My bottom three.
I gave the Jets a 1 week reprieve because they played pretty well against the Dolphins, even though they lost.
Well.
And the Bears are
losing
so bad.
Losing is still losing. But the Bears looked awful last night.
Yeah. It's hard to. It's hard for me to overlook that. By the way, Dolphins, remember them? Remember who liked them?
How are they looking?
6 in a row. 7-7.
There you go.
Trying to creep back in there. That the AFC last 3 weeks are going to be fascinating because how many teams? Let's see. There is from 8-6 and 7-7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams. 8-6 to 7-7. Then the Steelers in there with that tie. At 7-6-1. It's pretty wild with all the possibilities. It feels like the AFC North teams, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, they're in the most trouble because their schedules are all hard because they play each other and the AFC North with the Packers. You know, Cleveland has the Packers this week. Baltimore just played them. It feels like those two guys are going to have a tough road to hoe. To be able to have more than one team, more than the division winner, which would be Cincinnati right this second, to get it, you know, squeeze somebody else into that wild card, just because their schedules are harder than everybody else's. So it'll be interesting to watch there in the AFC.
By the way, we were wondering who are the odds on favorite to win the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yes.
And this is not updated. They don't update till the end of the after the all the games have been played each week, so this is after last week's games. T.J. Watt, in order, number one, T.J. Watt. We forgot about this guy, Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah. So I knew there was three that were way up above everybody, and Parsons the third.
Parsons, followed by Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
And Aaron Darnold is the fifth favorite. I knew he had to be in there.
I mean,
every year he feels like
really and truly, probably just give him the award every year, but I can't. I mean, if we're just talking about who's the best defensive player,
Diggs is going to get the attention because of all the interceptions. Mm-hmm. But what Micah Parsons is doing, it's at another level.
I would trade Trayvon Diggs before I would trade Micah Parsons if I'm a Cowboys fan. I can promise you that.
Yeah, the longevity, I think, is.
Well, just a better player. Looking at the Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl Pick'em standings. 7-3, Possum. Our boy Hunter. I wonder if that ESPN one is rusty. Anyway, 7-3 is the lead. Me, J-Mac, and Dylan Satilli, 6-4, one back. It looks like the whole contest had Tulsa, at least at the top, yesterday, which was a winner, 30-17.
A little nervous from Old Dominion.
I mean, couldn't you see? Because 7.5 is what the line was in our contest. And you're sitting there like, oh, man, 30-17. They're going to for sure kick an extra point. Rut-row. Here comes an L if they score, but they didn't. And so the standings probably would have looked exactly the same, except for everybody would have a loss instead of a win on their record. But anyway, thank you to Tyler Harris and Robbie Allen. All the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty, the bowl pick'em. It's a lot of fun going through the end of the national championship game. Give them a call down there. Any real estate needs, they can fix you up. 225-6271. All right, I mentioned SGA. So last night, Thunder, it's funny to look on ESPN's website at the box score because off to the right, bottom below it a little bit, it shows the season series between two teams. And it's just amazing to look and see 152-79 or whatever that was at the game before against Memphis. But the Thunder win second straight last night, and SGA now for three straight games here in these close games has been a guy that has stepped up and risen to the occasion. He hit the three before the three-quarter that got him beat by, you know, to tie it against New Orleans. Then the other night, step back, walk off three to beat the Clippers, and then last night a beautiful pass on an inbound play from Giddey that got him a dunk for a 3-point lead, and then he stole the ensuing inbound stole the pass. And kind of clinched the game last night against Memphis. Trammell wrote about this today. It's pretty. I was thinking this, and then I saw this article or his Scissor Tales, and I thought, "Huh, this is interesting." Because I was thinking about this myself. So the Thunder haven't played a ton of close games. the last couple seasons. And I say the last two seasons because that's when, you know, it's SGA's team, right? Chris Paul's traded, and it's all SGA. Thunder in those 100 games are 31-69, so not the greatest win percentage. But they have played 29 close games. And that means, just to give you an idea of what a close game, quote-unquote,
yeah,
it's when you get into the clutch, the clutch situations are defined, final 5 minutes, and the lead is five or less. Okay.
Gotcha.
So that's just – that. I mean, it's just a – it's a made-up marker to define clutch, you know, just to so that everybody's, you know, playing by the same rules, basically. And so 29 games the Thunder have been able to generate that clutch situation. And they're 19-10. So when they do play close games, they have a pretty good chance of winning them. And then SGA, in 14 games this season – with clutch situations, he scored 49 points in only 46 minutes, which is he's ninth in the league in those clutch points inside of those final five with a game close. I think it's just it's fantastic. The few positive things that you can draw out of what's going on right now with the Thunder, this is the main one to me, is it looks like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has figured out some things as the lead dog, and he's figuring out how to play the game as the main guy and still affect the game in a positive manner night in, night out, even though everything is geared towards stopping him.
And that's what you want. You want him to take that next step. And I hope he's not – you mentioned the clutch numbers. Is the next step just being good in the clutch, or is it being good – from beginning to end, you know, is that next step being a good clutch player? We hope it is. I mean, and then the next step is putting it all together, being a one of those players that, like you said, you have to stop from the very beginning to the very end. But it's nice to see that progress from SGA and kind of what I talked about earlier. It's nice to see this team give you hope as a whole with Giddey and SGA and others. The future's there, you know, that groundwork has been laid, and that's now we talk about next step, not just individually, but for the franchise. Is that next step going to be starting to turn that corner towards not just losing for the sake of getting a good pick, but actually going for it? You know what I mean?
Going for wins. 100%. And
that's when I want to. I guess I'm being patient here and trying to figure out when is that next step coming for the Thunder. I don't think anybody really knows.
No, I mean, listen.
I don't think there's a calendar in Sam Presti's office. He has a date circle. Is when we go for it all. It's just a matter of when is it personnel wise and timing when you know. And he's better than better than most of knowing when that is. And that's what I'm just waiting for. You know, now you got your guy, your key piece, clearly taking that next step and in improving. And there was some question there, you know, would he plateau?
Oh, sure. 100%. I mean, I
don't think that's the case. I think we're still seeing him grow.
Oh, I do. Totally agree. I mean, in ways, but even in ways that you don't really see or expect, which is, it's such a tough question because, okay, it looks like with the sixth pick this year, Oklahoma City has a foundational piece with Giddey. Mm-hmm. But is another Josh Giddey good enough to really affect anything? You know what I'm saying? Like as far as the tanking goes. It looks like they made a fantastic pick with that sixth pick. And right now, is there anybody that is a generational player in the draft from last year? It's impossible to tell right now. You know, Cunningham's gotten things going up in Detroit. Evan Mobley's been really good for Cleveland the entire year. But are those guys, you know, the guys above Giddey that got picked, but are those guys transforming their organizations? Not yet. You know? And so, you know, I think one of the things that has to do with the luck of all this, it's something that's not talked about near enough. And that is when you get those high picks. I mean, look how the Thunder were hugely fortunate the first time, in the first iteration of the Thunder,
right,
to have the second pick in the Kevin Durant, Greg Oden draft.
Yeah.
It was a fascinating bit of luck. You know, and so, like, even let's say the Thunder would have gotten one of the top three picks last year. Okay, but did it matter? You know, when the draft that you're able to draft really, really high, you got to get lucky that it has a generational superstar.
Right.
You know, the difference between LeBron being the top pick or if it's Anthony Bennett. You know, yeah. I mean, you have to get lucky that way too. And you wonder with Presti and everything that he's looking at, if he's not looking at that too, like, wait a minute, okay, this year, who's there? Should we?
Right.
Is it next year when we really need to bottom out, when it's Amani Bates and when it's the dude from France and all? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Is Chet Holmgren worth whatever, you know, tanking for?
Right.
Basically, or is, you know, is it a 7-player draft? You know, a lot of people thought last year was a 4 or 5-player draft. Now, they might be right. It's just not the right 4 or 5 people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you always hear that leading up to draft time. Oh, it's a 3-person draft. You got to be in the top three to get one of those. And that's not always the case.
The point is, just because you have a top 5 pick or the number one pick doesn't mean that's your golden child that's going to take you to the championship.
No.
That doesn't necessarily shake out all the time.
For every LeBron, there's a Michael Olowokandi.
For every Durant, there's a
Greg Oden. Yeah. Yeah. Got to get lucky that way, too. All right, everybody, have a great Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.